Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're really excited because Jim Morrell is back with us again today. He was our guest here on Close Up Talk Radio last week with Jim Masters. His name actually is James A. Morrell, but he is the CEO and the founder of Jam Consulting Group, which is based down in Illinois, Mount Carroll, Illinois. And it's a company that specializes in sales and leadership effectiveness and enhanced performance. The company's focus is to help develop customized training programs to help C-suite executives, other company leaders, and their teams become much more impactful versions of their professional selves. The company bases all of its coaching leadership development programs on behavioral science principles, and they've been doing this for a long time, almost 25 years. The leaders, salespeople, and professionals from various industries choose to work with Jam because of their ability to set a collaborative tone. And as Jim puts it, the clients like working with them because they appreciate the candid feedback that they get. The truth is critical to development. It's actually its 25th anniversary this year, so it's a delight to have them back. It's James A. Morrell. He's the founder, again, of Jam Consulting, and as I think you can gather, Jam's is really Jim's initials, J-A-M, J-A Morrell. So let's welcome Jim back to the line with us again. He was with us last week. We're going to continue our conversation with Jim this morning, today. And, Jim, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, Doug. Thank you. We appreciate the invite to talk again and looking forward to it.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to have you with us. For those of us, not those of us, but for those folks who did not hear the conversation that you had last week with Jim Masters, let's just do a little brief recap of Jam Consulting Group, and let me ask you to give me your description of what the company does. Now, you founded the company 25 years ago. You've been doing this a long, long time. I know you help. You know, you're training executives, you do coaching. You were doing this kind of thing back when the coaching industry really was beginning, at the very forefront of it, aren't you, or weren't you?
That's correct, yes. This is our 25th year, as a matter of fact, this past July, of the company, and started off actually by myself on a credit card to get the thing launched. I had a nice I had a beautiful business plan that the Harvard Business School would just salivate over. Problem was, it just didn't work. And for about the first 6 months, I was just floundering, trying to figure out what the heck to do. But eventually I figured it out. And I guess the best way to describe it, we're a small boutique company with three managing partners and a senior consultant on the team, all knowledgeable, all industry experts with insights and experience 30-plus years each in the financial services industry, as a matter of fact. But who we serve are C-suite executives, Doug, leaders of organizations, sales management teams, things of that nature is who we serve, who need to enhance performance or optimize performance. And the way we approach that is through keynote presentations, workshops, programs, of a variety of things based on what's relevant to our clients. And we deliver, we delivered face-to-face virtually all the time until the pandemic a couple of years ago. Now most of our work is done virtually. And although there have been some invites, we have a client, current client now that we're going to be working with here in the next week or so that requests we come on site. And it's a small group, and we're going to divide them up, and, you know, there will be distancing and all that sort of thing and mask wearing and all that. But they want to see and work with us face-to-face. So that's what we do.
Let me ask you a quick question. What were you doing, sure, or what did you do before you decided to found, you know, JAM Consulting? What was your background up to that point?
Well, previously I was in banking and in a variety of roles, all the way from sales and underwriting municipal bonds back in the day when I first started, to sales management, to mergers and acquisitions, president of a couple banks. We did some mergers with some money center banks that I was involved in, and I spent about 20 years doing that until I retired, or sort of like semi-retired, to start up JAM Consulting. But, Doug, before that, my first love was, of course, I was coaching and teaching, and I was coaching and teaching at several universities, and that was really where my passion for the consulting work came from. I guess this is as close as I can get to coaching, and teaching is consulting. So those were my prior lives. Yeah, so we, you know, the team I have are just, they're terrific. You know, as every organization, I guess your experience, I'm almost certain, would be the same. It's really dependent on the people you have in the organization. They comprise the organization. So these are folks that I've met and worked previously in banking, consulting work that I was doing individually, really top professional people. So that's JAM Consulting.
Well, that's real. That's good to hear. I love hearing the backstory of you know, guys like yourself who've gotten into this, and you're now able to help others. But it's always interesting to hear the path you took to get where you are. It makes sense that what you're doing now. Obviously, you enjoy this, and obviously you're very good at it. Companies that bring you on board and come to you for help, primarily, what would you describe their situation? Why did they look to you for advice and help? Are they in a they're not failing, but they think they could be doing better? Basically, how would you describe what brings them to your door?
Well, I think it's the latter description. It's they're not failing, but they know they can be better, and so we approach it that way. We find that most of our clients are very, very good at what they do, but there's just something missing to bring them to that level that they need to be to distinguish, you know, separate themselves from the competition and that sort. That would be the starting point, and they're either small or they're large. In fact, we have one client that's we've been on retainer with for 25 years, which has been our first client. That is currently the number two. They were number three, but they're number two largest global mutual fund company. And so those are the big guys. But we have entrepreneurs that come to us, individuals that are starting up businesses and things of that nature. But generally speaking, they have a level of competency that's already there. They're just not quite sure how to use it. And that would best describe our client base.
And it's interesting because you work with clients from a wide variety of industries. I mean, it's not like you're focusing primarily on folks from the banking industry or the financial arena. I mean, it covers a wide gamut. And one of the things I find very interesting is that in your company's words, you focus on sales effectiveness and leadership development, obviously, but you also help companies distinguish themselves from the competition. That sounds very important, and it seems to me you would think they would know that at the outset, but maybe they don't. Is that right?
That is correct. You know, one of the first questions we always ask is we'll sit down and I would say to them, why would I hire you or do business with you and your company? And they typically launch into this, you know, sort of broadcast of this, that, and the other. And I said, no, I'm just curious, what separates you from everyone else? And they find that difficult to answer. And so we begin to explore what is the differentiating uniqueness of their company. What do they bring to the table that no one else does? And it's an important starting point. But you're right about the different industries, but they're all the same in a couple ways, though, Doug. No matter whether it's a financial industry or industry somewhere out there, it's what we find is that there are two components. Every industry is or organization is driven by the leadership. That's one. That's always the same challenges. And the other is their sales effectiveness. Every industry has a product to sell. How well do they sell it? And is it relevant to their client target? So that's the way we approach it. But it's the uniqueness. In fact, we even have an exercise. We call it a branding statement or a confidence statement. We start with all of our clients, and we say, answer the question, why would I hire you? And they struggle answering that, and that's where we start our work.
Boy, that's interesting. That's very interesting. obviously, if you can help them learn why it would be beneficial to work with them for their client, you're giving them some very, very valid information. How do you go about doing that? How do you discover what the company needs to learn in order to, you know, set themselves apart from their competition? But you go in and have lengthy conversations with their executives. How does it begin? What's the program like?
Well, that's a great question, and that's sort of the defining moment for consultants, and that is you have one of two ways you can go. You can go in and pitch and persuade the client as to what they should be doing. That generally doesn't work. Or you can go in and reveal and reflect. In other words, you go in and you ask first. So everything we do starts with the discussion. Sometimes we go in, Doug, we kind of already know what the problem might be and what the answer is. The deal is that if we go in and we tell them before we ask them, all we have managed to do is raise a level of skepticism that's already there. And that skepticism then delays judgment and slows the process down. If we ask before we tell, it tends to minimize skepticism, and it opens them up to new ideas. So the approach is all about discussion. And those are simple, you know, 101 level behavioral science principles. And then what happens is once we've collected the information, then we repeat it back to them. We reflect it back to them and say, essentially, so based on what you're telling us, A, B, and C or something as an example, is that fair to say? And now they know they've been heard and understood. Another basic principle of behavioral science. And what that does is it opens the mind to new ideas and suggestions that might be coming from us. And so to simplify the conversation, which is that fair to say? And they'd say, yeah, that's close. And then we say, well, give us a minute to explain. We have an idea that we think may help you or you find beneficial. Give me a minute to explain, and then I'm curious as to what your opinion or thoughts are. So we always involve the client in the discussion. The other thing we learn is that discovery process to identify the gaps can come one of two ways. You can either do a sort of like this linear interrogation of questions, which never, ever are effective, or as we do it, we just sort of basically put it into discussion points. You start with, bring us up to speed in your current situation, and that's an in-depth conversation around that. And then we tend to lean in with specific questions once they start giving us information. The second discussion point is, what challenges do you anticipate or have you faced? And we wait for the response, and then we lean in with more specificity. And then the third question or discussion point we have is, what plans and ideas and expectations do you have? in terms of resolving it. And that incorporates the discussion or the discovery component. Then we just move in to discuss the solution and ideas. And then ultimately the third step is to decide outcomes. Where do they want to go? What results are they looking for in anticipation? So it might be a long-winded response to your question, but that's the approach that we take.
That's really – how long, by the way, do you work with a company to understand them completely and then get across to them what you think they need to, improve their performance?
Again, a great question. Let me just give you an example. The first client that I had 25 years ago invited me out to critique a training program, a week-long training program that they were conducting. And I guess, sit at the back of the room, Jim, and tell us what you think at the end of the week about its effectiveness and so on and so forth. Well, I got to tell you, Doug, it was awful. I mean, the training program was awful. And these were industry experts, and they had these vendors come in that didn't understand the industry. So as an example, they were using widgets as their example. Well, you could just see the eyes roll to the back of the head of these guys and gals. And they were like portfolio managers, underwriters, leaders, sales executives, C-suite executives. I mean, it was just all of these folks. So at the end of the week, they came to me and they said, "What'd you think?" And they were all excited about it and all that. And I think, oh, my goodness, here's the defining moment. And it's my first client, maybe my last client. Do I tell the truth, the hard truth? Yeah. Or do I just sugarcoat this thing? What the heck with it? Here's it. I said, "Guys, it's awful. It's terrible." And they're like, "Oh, my God, what are you saying?" I said, "Why don't you put your own brand and signature on your training program with all these experts you have internally. Why don't you design a program, training program for them?" So they like that. And they said, "Well, hey, we'll have our people talk to your people and let's sign a contract and we'll ask you to help us do that." I said, "Well, I don't have any people. It's just me." I said, "So let's start there." And so we shook hands, literally, we shook hands over the hood of my car in the parking lot of this place. Client, okay, our first client, is still our most active and current client today. That's 25 years. And wow. So that hopefully answers the question. So it takes a long time, and we grow with them. And we just – if you come in as a collaborative partner rather than a vendor, then you can lean in. You have access to the organization, to the people in the organization. You understand the footings of what they're doing and anticipate changes and things of that nature that might benefit that client. So we're looking for long-term relationships. But in terms of answering your question correctly, we typically have a discovery phase to all of our consulting work. That may take a day. That may take a week. Before we really come to some understanding of what it is, where the gaps are, what they need, and things of that nature. So some are simpler, some are more complex, and we tend to do our business based on retainers with our clients so right. that we have access to them ongoing. It's not like a one and done, okay, here's your problem, here's the solution. It's not that simple. Here's the problem. Here's the current solution. But let's keep looking forward and growing with you. So that's how we approach
it. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. You have lots of different programs in sales effectiveness and leadership development. Under the area of sales effectiveness, let me ask you about one of your programs. You call it Core 4. How would you describe Core 4? Now, obviously, it's a big part of what you do. Explain that to me.
Okay, first of all, understand that the cornerstones of what we do is broken into four components. The first is who you are, and that's understanding yourself and what you're doing, what you're capable of doing. That's where Core 4 lives. And Core 4 is based on the quadrant theory of personality, And what we look at there is the role of personality in sales and leadership. The second component is what to say, and that's creating clarity in the message and all that sort of thing. And we have several programs there, about six or seven programs, all customized. The third area is how to say it. And, you know, it's one thing knowing what to say, but it's how you say it in a stand-up presentation, a one-on-one, a keynote presentation, a boardroom-type setting, Doug, or presenting to a, you know, to the board of directors and that sort of thing. So it's how you say it. We have several programs there. And then the final is on coaching. And we do the one-on-one coaching and advising and things of that nature. And but you ask about core four. And that is, the idea is, if you don't know yourself, it's pretty hard to lead yourself, let alone lead anyone else. And that's sort of the little tagline we always put to that. So most our clients, if not all of our clients, they'd love to know about themselves. They want to know what that personality strength is and those gaps. And that's our nice way of getting at that. We have a follow-up, which is assessment, judgment and insights and leadership, which is a program that identifies certain factors. It's all research now, factors that contribute to leadership and saboteurs that hinder it. And so we give that profile also. That's all encompassed in who you are, know yourself. So that's what we start with on core four.
You know, it's interesting. Your website, which is a great website, by the way, we're talking to Jim Morrell. He's the founder and the CEO of JAM Consulting. But the website is jamconsultinggroup.com. JAM, J-A-M, consultinggroup.com. You point in one of the foundational concepts to get across is you help your clients recognize the important role that personality plays in the workplace. Talk about that for a moment. How critical is personality to success in the workplace?
Well, it's very important. It's the mindset that we're able to create. The core four on the quadrant theory of personalities, there are four distinguished personalities that we all have, and they're either not negative or positive. It's just who we are. But the mindset change on this, Doug, is we kind of sneak up on it with this thing, because it's not about who you are. It's how you impact others. And so you can influence others either positively or negatively. And it undermines communication, effective communication. I'll give you an example. We do a little exercise. We put them in four categories. And they don't know what their personality is yet, but we've grouped them into personality groups. And then we say, okay, here's an exercise. Now, what we want you to do is imagine yourself as a head nurse in an intensive care unit. And you're on the night shift, and you're making your rounds, and you stop by, and you notice one of your RNs is leaning up against the wall in the intensive care unit, apparently dozing. And so you call her to task at the end of the shift, and her response to you is, so what? Go ahead and fire me. I could care less. So we purposely do that with some emphasis. And the question then to the group is, what would you do and why would you do it? And there are personality groups that would take 10, 15 minutes. They collaborate with one another. They make sure everybody's in agreement and all that sort of thing. And they come with an answer that's something like, well, she might be just having a bad day and she's not feeling well, and we should need to send her home and let her relax and all that sort of thing. On the other side of the room, we have someone that doesn't take any time at all. They said, we'll fire her. Now, there are other two personalities that are involved, but I'll stop with that part of the example. The point is that people react differently to different situations. And how do you address that, and what's the proper approach to dealing with the answer to that thing? This underscores personality differences so quickly, and they like, oh, my goodness, that doesn't come off very well, does it? Or that's not effective, is it? And so then we lead that into, well, personality plays a role in sales and leadership, in working with your colleagues and peers, clients and prospects. And so it's not about you. It's understanding who you are, but it's more about them and how you impact others and what adjustments you can make. It's a great program.
Yeah, no, you have what you call a business personality assessment and workshop that is one of the major things you do with clients. It's a half-day workshop you do with them. I mean, I've never heard anyone, like you actually mention the word personality and how important it is. I think that's amazing. Let me ask you a question. Give me a brief description of one of your great success stories. I don't need any names or anything, but companies that came to you for help and, after working with them for a while, they found their footing and, they've gone on to greater things. Any story you'd like to pass along? Anyone that comes to mind immediately?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. This is in regard to sales. At the backstory is this organization, sales organization, merged with another company. So two cultures came face-to-face with one another. And so they're looking for a sales culture, develop a sales culture. So they marched in front of us over 100, I guess it was about 120 internal wholesalers. Now they had an army of external wholesalers selling their mutual funds also. But they brought us with the internal group, and they was comprised mostly of newbies, young folks just coming into the business and things of that nature. So what they were doing is they were covering clients that were like B and C clients, and that is that they weren't very active. They do a trade a month or a trade every 6 months or something like that. And their run rate was at 2.4 billion assets under management. And so they handed us, how can we make these guys and gals more effective? So we ran them through one of our sales training programs with a variety of caveats and pieces to it and all that. And we managed to, they had an office, New York, Houston, San Francisco, Chicago, and
all
LA.
Over the place.
And so we would jump in. All over.
Yeah.
And so we would go on site with groups in the respective areas. And it took us about 6 months. The run rate at the end of 6 months was at 14.8 billion assets under management with the same group,
wow,
with the same client target. Now that, we amazed ourselves, frankly. But because they were all in, we involved everyone in this thing, portfolio managers, underwriters, leaders, sales management, leadership in the organization, everyone was involved. So we had support from the top down. And that's a stark example of some of the work we've done. We've done things too, Doug, that you don't measure quite the same way, quantitatively.
Jim, I hate to interrupt you. We're slowly running out of time here. I have about a minute left to ask you. You're doing such great things. If I ask you, what are you most proud of? How would you answer that question?
Okay, well, that's maybe in three pieces, real quick.
Do it in 40 seconds. Uh-oh. We just lost Jim Morrell. That never happens. That's impossible. We have 30 seconds to go with him, and the line just disappeared. I am so sorry. I don't have time now to get him back on the line with it. I wish we did, because I only have less 40 seconds to go. Everybody, that was Jim Morrell. He was the founder and the CEO of JAM Consulting Group. They're based out in Mount Carmel, Illinois. What a fascinating man and what a great story. Go to that website, jamconsultinggroup.com. Thank you for being with us.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Take care, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Bye.